From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and always I have with me today...
Oh, Dr. Funderburk, you've got your boy, your main man, your husband, for January 25.
So you weren't my husband before January 25?
Okay, you know, like, well, of course I was your husband before January 25.
Or you say you're not going to be it after? What you trying to say, brother?
No, Dr. Funderburk, I ain't gonna say that because you know, you my baby mama.
Oh goodness, yes.
So I got to make sure I keep it saying right now. I ain't gonna be crazy now.
So who are you?
So I'm of course your brother, man, your lover of your life. But of course, you know, I try to give you a theme every week.
You do.
And so because of the gentleman that we're going to be interviewing today.
Oh goodness, you know, you're making me nervous, man, already.
This is my boy. This is my mentor. So, you know, I got to have a little fun with this gentleman.
So because of him, your name is what?
My name is going to be Brother Lightskin. That's right. That's right. Brother Lightskin. See, because, you know, back in the day, it was the dark-skinned brothers.
What? That were the ones that everyone wanted?
All the girls wanted the dark-skinned brothers. And then right when DeBarge came along, back in the 80s, you know, when his name was L.
And, oh, my goodness.
Michael Jackson, you know, all that.
See, this
That's when we started to, you know, take over. So,
Say it again. It's Brother Lightskin.
Brother Lightskin. Or you can just say Lightskin. That's fine. BL, Brother Lightskin.
Now, see, this is what happens, y'all. Every time I am in the same room with Keith, my husband,
and Keith Funderburk,
our esteemed guest, community leader, Reverend Odell Cleveland. Every time... I just need to excuse myself from the conversation because they kind of take on their own little banter, and I'm like, oh my goodness, why am I even here? So, Reverend Odell Cleveland, how are you living today?
I'm doing fine, and thank you for having me back on the show. And to Brother Lightskin,
that is.
I appreciate you and all you do and all that kind of good stuff. It reminds me of Lionel Richie, you know, the light-skinned brothers with the big afro had all the women in those days.
That is.
But it's still good because Billy D. Williams is still in the house.
See what I'm saying? Who thinking about Billy D. and...
My
Tay
goodness.
Diggs and all those cats, man.
We need to do a show on colorism. That's what we need to do.
Okay, we'll do that one day. But Dr. Funderburk, we're going to let the light-skinned brothers rule. That's right.
So at any rate, we are reflecting today on a very important man, a man who, you know, who really changed, I think, the trajectory of African Americans, Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is who we're talking about today. And, you know, he's such an important person, but I think he is also a person that we can kind of just say, oh, he was a great guy because we hear about him so often, right? But you know, we kind of have to take pause and look at, well, what were some of the things he did? Why should we celebrate this person? Why should he have a day, a national day all to himself? So with those thoughts in mind, Reverend Cleveland, what does MLK Day mean to you, you know, personally, but even as a leader, as the community leader that you are?
You know, I'm very proud of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And today many of us celebrate it, but I'm very much aware that many in America just tolerates Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. You know, what you have to realize is that for many individuals, black and white, they saw Dr. King and his movement as him being a troublemaker. I know down the dirt roads of South Carolina where I grew up, even some of my family members would say when they were younger, they just saw Dr. Martin Luther King as a troublemaker. He's coming into the community, causing trouble between white and blacks and everything else. So I think we can't fall into the myth of everyone loved Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. while he was alive and definitely while he's no longer alive. So to me, you know, I celebrate it. I choose to celebrate it versus those who I know who choose to tolerate it.
Wow. You know, that's interesting, Reverend Kalina, because when you think about it, as I look back in history and I look back, and I'm a history buff, help us understand, especially those young folks that's on the campus or even in the community, why would other black folk look at Dr. King in a negative way, though? I mean, what? I mean, because I know back in history, not even all people in the faith community embraced Dr. King as well. Is that right?
Right, exactly. You have to understand, though, Dr. King was a polarizing individual. He came in to say, hey, we want equal rights. And people like, equal rights? How can I give you equal rights when we don't even see you as being equal? And for a lot of black people, that was troubling because now all of a sudden you got white people mad at black people and you are trying to kind of disrupt the way things were going. But that wasn't just then. Think about now. Think about critical race theory, where we are arguing over the point that we don't want to teach history, especially when it's dealing with race, in school. So we're going to ban black books, we're going to ban black history, we're going to ban the fact that you can't teach about black culture. But even more, you hear about DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. You have major corporations celebrating the fact that we're going to disengage the framework in our institution that was there to seek and promote fair treatment and full participation by all. So it's like these things. Back when I was younger, we called it affirmative action. So this is nothing new. This is just the evolution that we still have to fight, the same fight Dr. King fought for. Yes, we can go to restaurants. Yes, we can do these things. But the argument and the fight was for equity when it comes to economics. You all may be too young to remember that this show used to be called The Dukes of Hazzard. You know, and they had on the show this car called the General Lee, and the General Lee was a red car, and on the top of the hood it had the rebel flag. Well, when they said that Martin Luther King Jr. Day was a national holiday, it was some states, and let me just read a couple for you so you understand what I'm talking about, who said, okay, we know that's the law, but this is what we're going to do. Alabama said instead of calling it the Martin Luther King Jr. Day, they called it the Robert E. Lee Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Arizona call it the Martin Luther King Jr. Civil Rights Day. Arkansas, same thing, Robert E. Lee. You know, Idaho started talking about the Idaho Human Rights. So Mississippi, the Robert E. Lee. And Robert E. Lee was a Confederate general in the Civil War fighting against black people.
I saw that, and I just knew that that was like some crazy meme somebody came up with. So you're saying that that really happened?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. And a lot of different states said, no, we understand what the federal law says, but we say, no, we're not going to celebrate this black man because we're not going to celebrate what he did. Yeah. He did something we didn't want him to do.
Right.
Wow. See, this is not misinformation. This is fact that we're learning about Dr. King in his day. I mean, this is so important that we share information right here on this show on How You Living. And again, we do thank Reverend Cleveland for joining us today because, you know, celebrating this day is not just having a day off.
Right.
You know, this is not a day where you can just, you know, go get you some chicken or something, you know, because you can, you know, have a good time over at a certain restaurant where you can get all kind of fish and all that. Dr. Kramer, you eat fish, right?
Keep moving.
But, you know, but this is more than that, because Dr. King and his contributions, and again, it wasn't just Dr. King during the Civil Rights Movement. I mean, we had a lot of gentlemen and ladies that we can that Dr. King stood on their shoulders as well. But, you know, when you think about the legacy of Dr. King, you know, and he had shaped what, how has he shaped what we do today? And you kind of talked a little bit about that, though. You know, if I guess, in essence, if there was a Dr. King out there today, what would the Dr. King be saying today?
Well, you're absolutely right. We're pushing for equal rights. You know, when you think about it, now Dr. King's holiday is shared with this new thing called the Day of Service, you mm-hmm, know, mm-hmm. and but that just started in 1994. So people, mm-hmm. America has been wrestling with this. It's almost like a tumbleweed blowing in the wind. America mm-hmm. has been wrestling with this idea. How do we handle, how do we maneuver, how do we handle this day called Reverend Dr. Luther King Jr. birthday? So it's like, okay, let's turn it into a day of service. And the only other day of service that we have in this country is September 11th. So we've pushed it politically in certain arenas because folks just don't want to deal with it. But the majority of the black community, we come out and we celebrate. We have parades. We come out and we hear the speeches. We come out and we, you know, we realize what an awesome man Dr. King was. Not perfect, but an awesome leader. And sometimes leaders are only recognized after they're dead and gone. Because let's remember, Dr. King got assassinated.
Yes.
He didn't die of old age. He got assassinated for what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. See, that was powerful. You know, he got assassinated. It wasn't like he had, you know, he went and he got older and all that. I think Dr. King got assassinated in his, I think either his late 30s or
yeah, he was a young man.
He was a young man, young man. He had a long history that he could have lived, but, you know, someone took a very strong leader out of this world that we really honor and value on this day.
I think, though, I just want to interject there that I think that really, you know, when you hear about he was assassinated, when you hear about other leaders, specifically black leaders who were assassinated, when you think about all the different ways in the recent elections that many have said that they were trying to take the vote or mm-hmm. or shift the who was able to vote. You have to ask the question, why? Why would he be killed? Mm-hmm. Why would Malcolm X be killed? Why would these different laws and procedures for how we vote be changed so close to the election? Why would somebody want to do that? It just doesn't seem to make sense unless it makes perfect sense. That's why you kind of want to sit back and think through these whys. You know, mm-hmm. what was it about these people? What is it about you voting that makes somebody else so afraid?
Again, you're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. We've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburk. And today we've got my good friend, my mentor, Reverend Odell Cleveland, community leader. So let's talk about that for a moment, Reverend Cleveland. You know, when you think about Dr. King, you think about race relations, you think about, of course, diversity, equity and inclusion. You know, race relations, it has a mental health connection. Mm-hmm. Because when you start looking at race, I mean, racisms and the isms, this type of thing has been going on since the beginning of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just color, but it can be other isms that people have. But it's something, you know, when you have hate that can be so entrenched, you know, in a person's belief and their values, then it makes a big difference. What do you think?
You know, I think you're absolutely spot on, because a lot of times when we think about Dr. King as a young man, you know, he rose during the civil rights movements in 1955 with the Montgomery bus boycott, you know, was followed by the arrest of Rosa Parks, African-American woman who violated the city's racial segregation ordinance when she refused to give her seat up to a white man. Mm-hmm. So think about everything we know in this country about chivalry. A man gives up his seat to a woman, except in some cases, if you're black. So if you're black, you're a second-class citizen, and you sit to the back. And we say, well, no, we don't want to be a second-class citizen. That's what gives people so many problems when you say you want to be equal. You want to be treated fairly. You want to be equitable. You want to go in the bank and get the same loan that everybody else gets. You don't want to be the last hired and the first fired. You don't want your children to be miseducated or mistreated. Mm-hmm. And what's wrong with that? But the realization that that's the way it was, and in some cases, in some segment, we still deal with the remnants of that. I'm not saying that's the way it is now 100%, but I think we all understand that sometimes you're the last hired, first fired, and you have to do twice as good as that other person there to keep your job or do a job. And I think the role of the Black faith community allowed Dr. King to be able to be the voice of the people, because he wasn't working for corporate America where they could fire him. He was out there and the people were supporting him. And that's what gave him or insulated him from all the attacks, from all of the things that they tried to do. But it still got to him. It still got to him.
Yeah. Wow. So it was just amazing when you think about it. Again, you got Reverend Dr. King. I mean, he gave his life. He gave his family. He really sacrificed a bunch, you know. When I think, of course, you know, about his, let's think about his family for just a moment. And Nanette, of course, you know, you're the husband of this beautiful guy, you know, just is looking right at you right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we can't just talk about Dr. King without talking about his wife, Coretta Scott King.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she too had to make sacrifices. But I can imagine, though, you know, what do you think might have been going through Coretta Scott's King's mind and her mental health? You know, they were talking about killing her husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the man that she loves.
Right.
Her father, the father of her children. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you think she got through that period? You know, and this might, you know, how can that inspire young marriages or families today?
Well, I think definitely they relied on their faith. I think also that her mental health, yes, was probably impacted. I think there was probably fear there. I think there was fear, anxiety there. But I think there was also a job to do. She knew that she was seen just as much as he was seen.
Mm-hmm.
And if she didn't, because I have not seen a picture of her ever where she didn't look wonderful. I mean,
right.
Just absolutely fabulous. So I think if she didn't look like she had it together, it might have sent a message like, okay, you're out here, Dr. King, doing all of this stuff, but can you keep your own family together?
Mm.
And you know, it appeared as though they looked great, and they mm-hmm. did, you know, they did really great. But you can't look great and do all these great things without having some work somewhere. And I can only imagine how fearful they were. I can only imagine how just utterly tired they had to be. I would even say, now I have not heard this anywhere, this is just me thinking this, I would even say that somewhere on some level, somebody had to have some bouts of depression from time to time just because the work was so hard, and it probably seemed like they weren't making a lot of difference. You know, when you're right there in the middle of things, you can't see the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, my opinion right there. I'm not saying that that has been validated anywhere. But that's kind of what pops in my head as I think about Coretta Scott King.
You know, and I think I heard that this, Reverend Cleveland, that when Dr. King and they did this autopsy of his body, if I'm not mistaken, I think I heard where his heart was the heart of an elderly gentleman. It's mm-hmm. like he went through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we got the Kings of the day, if we had a young King growing up today, right here in Guilford County, right here in Durham County or Cumberland County, what can we do to help, you know, get this work-life balance, but still keep the fight going, still keep out there protesting, you know, reminding these local and state leaders and federal leaders, you know, we need help. What do you think?
You know, I think that some cases we have it wrong with the work-life balance. I try to promote life in all capital letters, life-work balance, life first. Not work first, life work first. Because if you die, someone will take your job or your job will be given to someone else. If you die, someone will take your place. So I look at it from another perspective that let me look at my life first. What am I trying to do? And then we'll go that route. Now, back to Dr. King and Coretta Scott King. She was a very, very, very classy woman. Let's say that first and foremost. However, I do believe that the mental aspect on the family, the house getting bombed, the fact that they were struggling financially at some times, and when Dr. King won the Nobel Peace Prize, the money from the Nobel Peace Prize, even though his family needed it, he gave it to the movement. So here's a woman who's saying, wait a minute, you know, we're struggling to pay our bills and we get a windfall and you give it to the movement. That's hard on the marriage.
Yeah.
And it's been documented. I wasn't there, but it's documented that Dr. King had affairs with other young ladies. So that's part of the truth. And if it's been documented and the FBI was recording and, you know, the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, you know, you can't believe everything, but it's been documented from Andrew Young and some more individuals. I forgot the gentleman who was his right-hand man.
Abernathy.
Talked about it. Yeah, Abernathy. So she knew. So how does a woman feel, and I'm not a woman, don't want to be one, how does a woman feel knowing that her husband is doing some things that she doesn't approve of? That's one thing. And the fact that it's potentially in the spotlight. History says that the FBI sent her a package explaining everything on what he was doing. Think about that. Mm. And to Dr. Thunderberg's point, she still had to go out in public and put on a good face. So think about the mental aspects of that. And then you go back to life first, how you living, and then work. And so that's what I would share with the young person, sir, the light-skinned brother, that you look at your life first. What do you want out of life? Mm-hmm. And don't buy into the myth. Don't chase a ghost. Don't chase an image. Don't look at what you see on TV. We understand TV. We understand Hollywood. We understand the movies. And we understand the social nets. That's not real life.
Right.
That's someone giving you the best angle of their picture.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So yeah. Those are the type of things I would tell young people from that perspective.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It is, man. See, that is extremely, that's a lot of wisdom there. When you think about it's a life work balance, because a lot of times I've always heard the phrase was work life. But at the end of the day, you need to put your life, your family first. And then when you start thinking about career, when you think about all these other things, that will make a huge difference. Man, so Dr. King, he has impacted our lives even to this day. You know, we're celebrating this day. Even today, you know, we're getting ready to do an inauguration of another president. Donald Trump, he's going to be inaugurated later today. And, you know, well, actually, I'm sorry, not later today. He was inaugurated earlier in the day. But it's just interesting how we look at the life of Dr. King and how he sacrificed so much. You know, we want to make this more than just a day of service. We want to make this day an opportunity that, you know, we can think about our mental health, making sure that we have balance. You know, if there are other things in my life, you know, if I'm making some sacrifices, you know, how much am I going to be giving up? If it's money, if it's time, you know, there's some things I might need to come back and regroup. What do you think, Dr. Funderburk?
Well, I can agree fully with that because we're all making decisions every moment of the day. We're making decisions, even when we're sitting down and kind of doing nothing. That's a decision right there. And it, you know, what you're saying is look at the impact that your decision will have.
Mm-hmm.
You've always mentioned intent versus impact. And a lot of times we can have some really good intentions, but what's the actual impact of your good intentions? So, you know, even a man who is respected as much as many respect Dr. King, you know, I could see someone asking him, hey, sir, you know, it would have had to be one of his peers to say this to him.
Mm-hmm.
What's your intent and what's the impact? sir. Right. The impact to the movement, but also the impact to your family, the impact to your legacy, the impact to this wife of yours, these children of yours, all of these things that are around you right now. What's the impact? I know the intent, but what's the impact? And when we can get those two things to match, then we're really doing something.
Wow. Dr. Cleveland, you got any closing comments or thoughts about Dr. King Day?
Very much so. You know, we're taught to use this day to reflect on the principles of racial equality and nonviolent social change espoused by Dr. King. You know, and again, the holiday is typically observed with events such as marches, rallies, speeches by politicians and civil rights leaders. But think about what you stated earlier. We're having to endure, some celebrating, some of us are tolerating, the next president of the United States of America. And I still say that January 6th was totally opposite of what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. espoused or believed in. I still say if it was black people going up those white steps, challenging the Capitol, raiding the Capitol, it would have been a lot of black bodies laying in red blood on those white steps. Mm-hmm. Now, I believe that. I believe that. Mm-hmm. And is that what Make America Great Again means? And again, some people celebrate Make America Great Again, and some people tolerate it. So the same with Dr. King. So that's the world we're living in. And I just think that we have to go into this next phase of politics with our eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Very, very profound thoughts, very provocative thoughts coming from Reverend Cleveland as a community leader right here in this Guilford County, North Carolina area. Dr. Funderburg, I've got about a minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
From a mental health perspective, what does Dr. King Day mean to you?
I would say, you know, we've got to look at kind of like Reverend Cleveland mentioned at the beginning. Some people really appreciated Dr. King, but during his day, there were black people who did not appreciate him because of their experiences, because of what they were having to endure, simply because he was trying to make some changes, some big changes in life. So, you know, your experience in life determines your view of the way things are going on around you and what steps you need to take next and the things that you're going to appreciate versus the things that you're going to just let kind of roll off by the wayside. So, you know, we've got to pay attention to what our experiences are, but also pay attention so that we can have a level of understanding and not stand in judgment. Pay attention to what some others' experiences are as well.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Funderburg. Reverend Cleveland, thank you so much, my brother. I'm looking forward to the next we're looking forward to the next time we get together. And look, I don't want it just a peanut butter and jelly. I want to get the steak this time when we eat. You got to pay for it, though.
Yes, sir. My light-skinned brother.
That's right. All Dr. Right. Funderburg, close out.
If you all have any comments or questions, please make sure that you message us at WNAAcommunity@gmail.com. And as always, we'll see you next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburgs. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs on 90.1 FM WNAA.